Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much this morning for the opportunity that we have to sing praise to You. And now as we look into Your Word, we pray that You would quiet our hearts. And through the Word of God, would Your Holy Spirit begin to work in our hearts, build us up in our faith, encourage us, mold us after the image of Christ. Holy Spirit, perform Your work this morning in each life of the believer. May we be willing to place ourselves under the divine scalpel of the Holy Spirit to have those things removed that need to be removed. And I pray that as we go from this place, because of the preaching of the Word of God, may we indeed be encouraged and built up. Help us set aside those things that would rob us of the blessing of listening to the preaching of the Word of God. And if one does not know Christ as Savior, may today be that day of salvation. For we pray it in Thy name. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the Christian, God's divine masterpiece. God's divine masterpiece. Of course, our text is Ephesians 2:10. Well, you all know this painting. Maybe you can't see it quite as clearly, but of course it is the Mona Lisa, painted by Leonardo da Vinci. What is interesting, or what I'm sure if there are any resident art experts here, I don't know, do we have one in the midst? But that could tell us several things about the painting that would make it, you know, interesting. But one of the things that's interesting about the painting is the art technique, sfumato. And that is that particular, well, you could go to either maybe the detail in the hands or the smile, or certainly around the eyes. Sfumato is opposite the stick figure mentality, where you draw the line and you kind of color it in. Sfumato is when you're taking colors and you just layer them next to each other, and they're just blended, so there's no definitive line. And it's that shading technique that is so engaging about the picture. Even if you would look closely, of course, even at the smile and everything there, there's no definitive line. It just begins to blend and flow together. Well, what created that? It was certainly the work of the artist. The hand of Leonardo da Vinci as he made that painting and created that detail. And so today, centuries, years have gone by, and we just now even look at that painting and hold it in high regard for the talent and the craftsmanship of Leonardo da Vinci. When we consider our salvation, we are the work of God. We are the painting. And God works within us spiritually when He brings us to Christ. And we then are His work. And that's what the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 is telling us. Note, if you would please, what we reviewed last week in verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the grace of God. It is through faith of Him. And that next phrase is what? And that not? It's not of yourself. It is not your doing. Yes, you have to have faith. Yes, there is the surrender of the will and the trust that you place when you commit your life and believe in Him. But folks, God does the work. It is through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of your work, so that no one should boast. We're not going to be able to get to heaven and boast and say, look at what I've done in order to get here. Doesn't work that way. And then, if we are to understand that truth even further, verse 10 begins to say, because, or for, we are His workmanship. And so, first of all, it's divine craftsmanship. It's a divine in craftsmanship. It's His plan. Look at the origin of craftsmanship, if you would, please. The origin of craftsmanship. It is simply this. The Greek is emphatic here, and it says, His handiwork are we. His handiwork are we. God does the work in us. God is working in us. God is working in us. He does the work. Psalms chapter 100 and verse 3. Know that the Lord, He Himself is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. God does the work in us. We know that God the Creator made us. Contrary to what some think, you know, people think as far as being evolved from monkeys and things that hop around, you know. But God made us. God made us. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We understand this in verse in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 21 when Isaiah said, "The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise." I mean, just think of what we did this morning. Here we are, God's creation, singing praise to the Creator, and He's pleased by that as our lips lift up voices of praise to the Creator who has made Him. And what is the Apostle Paul making about? What is going on then in this text when he says, "For we are His workmanship"? Just as God created us physically, listen this morning, just as God created us physically, so His work of salvation in creating us in that new life is the same way. We cannot save ourselves. God does the work. God does the work. Because first of all, we're sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I cannot save myself. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, all of us become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds are like filthy rags in the eyes of God. When it comes to our salvation, we cannot save ourselves. We're filthy. It means stained beyond use. You know, I've got a couple coveralls that are in that, you know, almost to that point, you know. But I still use them because when I get working on the truck, I get dirty. So, you know, they're stained. They're stained. But they're filthy. Our sin is like a filthy rag. God does the work and He comes in and cleans us up, works within our heart and makes us a new creation. So it begins with God and His work. It starts with Him. God, the origin of craftsmanship is God. It is His handiwork, are we. Then we see that next work, if you would please. We then become the object of His work. The workmanship. The object of His work. The workmanship, meaning to do, to make, what is created. This Greek word is used only one other time in all of Scripture. Only one other time, and it's found in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what was made, so that they are without excuse. What's happening here in the book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 20? The Apostle Paul is laying down the foundation of this. Well, how often have you heard someone say to this effect, apart from evolutionary theory, but you look up and there's one nice thing about being out in the country in Grass Valley or Nevada City or wherever you're coming from or Penn Valley, and you look up at the sky at night and you can see the Milky Way when it's a clear night. And you say, there must be a what? A God. When you look out at the creation and the vastness of the universe, and you must say, there has to be a God. That's what it says. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes have been clearly seen. That means that when there is somebody in the deepest, darkest part of Africa, and they look up at the sky at night, and maybe there's not a church there, but they say, there must be a God. And God says, and He says, who are you? And they call out to God. I believe God's wise enough to answer that prayer to send a missionary to go. But man is without an excuse, because he's there if he wants to be seen. Being understood through what has been, and here's the word made in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, that is the same word workmanship in the book of Ephesians. Now, if you understand this, please, this morning, that just as God created the world in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just as He made all things and our testimony of who He is, so are you this morning in your salvation when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and you become His workmanship. He creates in you new life. You are His workmanship. He does the work. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, He has made it. Now, let me give you another illustration about craftsmanship. The pietà. I don't know if that's how you say it or not. But pietà. There it is. By Michelangelo. And this is the Mary with Jesus. Jesus on her lap. He carved that out of a single piece. And you think, man, how did you do that? How did you do that? How did you take a single piece and carve that out? If you look at it, the proportions a minute, there's no lady that has a lap that big on God's green earth. But, you know... but still, he started out with this effect as a pyramid, and he would imagine the image in the marble as he would begin to work. And a contemporary of his said this: it would be impossible for any craftsman or sculptor, no matter how brilliant ever, to surpass the grace or design of this work, or try to cut and polish the marble with the skill that Michelangelo displayed, for the Pietà was a revelation of all the potentialities and force of the art of sculpture. It's a tremendous work of art. But as he begins, here's the point. He would imagine the piece in his mind's eye as he would begin to cut and to work. Folks, God had you in His mind's eye from the beginning of time. Folks, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 40. We are known unto God, all His works from the beginning of the world. To be in the mind's eye of the Creator, we have to conclude that in application, get this please, point number one in application, we cannot work our way to heaven because God does the work. It is impossible for us to work our way to heaven because God has done the work. We are His workmanship. And folks, you think about this morning. There are people who are trusting in what they do, unfortunately, to get them to heaven. And that's contrary to the biblical thought. It's contrary to the Word of God. Yes, faith, belief. But we talked about that last time, that faith is my trust or dependence in what God did and has done and will do. I trust Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever what? Believeth. Belief is another word for faith. And it is not how much faith I can conjure up, Because then that's a faith. It's my simple trust or simply my dependence in what God's going to do or did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me, and I trust Him. We are His workmanship. Now, lest you get confused again, understand this, please. It's divine in construction over a process. Look at what He says. A process. And what do I mean by process? It doesn't have to be long. It can be short. I mean, I can't imagine the power of God. Let there be light, and He spoke, and there was what? Light. And there it was. When I talk about the process, it doesn't have to be long. I'm saying by this, what do I mean? First of all, it's a unique construction. Because, what's the word say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? We are His workmanship. The word is created. And when we talk about the created in theology, we often mean of this ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. Folks, when God creates things, He does it out of nothing. God is the only one who can create. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's the only one that created. And folks, understand this, please, that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new what? New creature. A new creation. Made new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. We put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. It's unique in that we are created spiritually by God. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. There is nothing in us. There is no spark of good in man. But God comes in and makes us new. And makes us and creates us a new creation. A new creation. But understand this, please. It's united in its construction in this. We are in Christ Jesus. Mark it down. We are in Christ Jesus, united with Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is what? In Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Understand this, please. When you died on the cross of Calvary, or when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, you're going to be so glad you came to church this morning. You ready for this question? Were you born yet? No. That means that all your sins would be in the future. Right? Are you with me so far? Because you were not born yet. All your sins were in the future. Jesus Christ paid for your sins, past, present, and future. And when He died on the cross of Calvary, it was paid in full. And folks, when it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, paid in full, you will not get to heaven. And there will not be a plasma screen standing there for all the world to see every sin that you ever committed. Because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. They're paid in full. You are created in Christ Jesus. You are united with Him spiritually. There is therefore now no condemnation. None for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. And when you are, He became to us what? wisdom from God, He became to us our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. Now understand this, please. When God made man, what did He do? He went down and He took some dust or dirt, and then He breathed into him the breath of life. Now we say that God used a medium there, but folks, that's pretty powerful to me. I mean, to take dust and breathe in the breath of life and dirt and then create man, even though He used the medium of dirt to do so. I don't think there was anything special about the medium, is my point. There was still this work of creation. This work of creation. Now, in this, spiritually, what happens? Our medium, so to speak, is Christ. And I am united with Him spiritually, and I'm made new. And everything that Christ is belongs to me. Justification, my sanctification, my redemption. I am in Christ. And so understand this, please. Spiritual principle number two. The other reason that I cannot work my way to heaven is because I am a spiritual creation united with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot work our way to heaven because we are a spiritual creation united in Christ. We are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And then understand this, please, this next point. What does our text say? We have a divine commission. We have a purpose. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. With what purpose and to what end? For good works. This describes the relationship between good works and salvation. You would think that if I am in Christ, and I'm in Christ, that there's no condemnation. Well, that sounds to me that that's a theology that I could just live it up. Woohoo! But we're forgetting the creation that we are. We're forgetting who we are when we think about that mentality. Okay? How many of you like to go swimming? You like to go swimming? Yeah, I like water. You like water? Okay, good. You don't have any scuba gear and you don't have any snorkel. There it is. Took a while to think of that. No breathing apparatus. How long could you stay underwater? 30 seconds? I don't know. Not very long is the point. But what if you were a fish? I mean, what if you were a fish? How long could you stay underwater? Yeah, a long time. Because, I mean, that's what fishes do. You know? They kind of stay underwater. That's where their atmosphere. What if you would switch? You know? You go under the water and the fish comes out. How long would that one last? Not long. The illustration is this, that how you are created, that what you are, that what has God done in you, what He has done, you will live out who and what you are in Christ. That's the point. The theology does not match when the Apostle Paul says we're saved by grace, and you would think, well, man, I could just live it up and party and who cares and go to church on Sunday and feel good and then live it up and live like the devil Monday through Saturday and feel good again on Sunday. You're not understanding the principle of who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You live out what you are. If you have been created in Christ and you're saved, living it up and living like the devil or sounding like the world or however you want doesn't match who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been created in the image of Christ to be and act Christ-like. We don't always do that. But our purpose for life now has totally changed. It's different. We are being given a new nature, a creation, to live out what we are. And now we then see this relationship in Ephesians 2:10, and it says that we have been created for good works. Now here's the relationship between doing good and good works and salvation. When you go to the doctor, and there's a lot of sickness that has been going around, but when you go to the doctor, he prescribes medicine. And you get a prescription. And there's a specific drug for a specific purpose. And it is prescribed for you. So understand the prescribed commission that you have been given, the specific purpose for good works. So understand this, please. Number one, works follows salvation. Works follows salvation. Good works does not save you. Okay? You do not get saved by taking communion. You do not get saved by being baptized. You do not get saved by believing a certain formula. It is the work of God in your heart. Now, I just need to put an aside here for a moment. As far as baptism, I remember I went to seminary one time, and there was a professor told this, not one time. Jeez. When I was in seminary, my professor told this story. They went to talk to a fella about the Lord, and he was of the belief of the many, many gods. And he had all kinds of gods that he worshipped. And they would go and try to talk to him and try to win him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And, no. But one day, the professor wasn't there, and the pastor went without the professor. This was bad. But anyway. And he said, well, do I have to be saved, or do I have to be baptized in order to be saved? Well, if you're looking at baptism as a work, the narrow answer is, well, no. So he said, okay. So he prayed the sinner's prayer. They went back to him next week to visit him, and guess what? Jesus was in there with all the other gods. And he said, what happened? In his mind, baptism marked the picture of Thomas's attitude when Thomas said, my Lord and my God. To him, his baptism would have made the public declaration of the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism is so closely related to our salvation, it is like the honeymoon in marriage. You wouldn't think of not having a honeymoon when you are married. When you're married and you make a vow, you're married. You're legally. But there's that natural outflow of that relationship. So the short answer is, technically, you could say, no, you don't have to be baptized. But depending upon the circumstance, the belief system of the individual, whatever it might be, it may require that public declaration of the lordship of Jesus Christ and who He is, depending upon the situation. Well, let's rewind back to our text. Good works follows salvation. Good works follows salvation. And so it always follows salvation, not before, as far as going to heaven. In John Eadie's commentary on Ephesians, he said this in point two. I got a little bit ahead of myself. Works, then, point two, and I'll get to the quote in a minute. Works is this. Work shows the effect of salvation. It does not produce salvation. Work shows the effect of salvation. It does not produce the salvation. Here's what John Eadie said when he came to this text. What does the law say? The Old Testament law says, do this and live. If you had the ability to never, ever, 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 ever lie, to never steal, never cheat, never covet, if you have the ability to do all those things, the law says if you do all of that, you can live. Problem is, we don't. But isn't it? The law says, do this and live. But, understand this please, the gospel says, live, then do this. Live, then do this. And you get a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. So works shows the effect of salvation. Law says, do this and live. But the gospel says, live and do this. Then point number three, what also can we say about the fact that we are created for good works? Works, then, is a manifestation of God's work in you. Works is a manifestation of God's work in you. You are to do what God has created you and designed you to do. Works is a manifestation of God's work in you. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed. Colossians 1:10. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. But unfortunately, this morning, there may be some here, and you say, you know what? I'm not living out what God has designed for me to do. Maybe you're living like the world. Maybe you're not focusing upon Christ. The question that you have to ask yourself, if you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, are you living out how God has designed you to be? We live in a world which promotes and focuses upon us and thrusts upon our mindset things that are contrary to the Word of God. And when we're faced with philosophies that are contrary to God's Word, the problem is not God's Word. The problem is our feelings or how we think. God's Word must remain supreme in all things. And are we living out what God has designed for us? Are we living out the new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have we bought into the philosophies that are out there in the world, no matter what they might be? God's Word will always be true. God's Word will always be true. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, which God, you know what? And God didn't, when He created us, go, well, what am I going to do with this? You know? Now what am I going to do? What does it say in our text? In the King James, it says that He before ordained, Ephesians 2, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. The King James says before ordained. The New American Standard says that God prepared beforehand. Or your NIV, He prepared in advance, folks. God planned for us to do good. He wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, or Paul, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. And the point is this, live out what God has already begun in your heart as a believer. Christ is your sphere in which you live. You are united in Him. He is your salvation. He is your redemption. He is your sanctification. You're united with Him. You come and God has created and breathed into you the breath of life as a human being. When you come and you place your trust in Him, spiritually He has removed the Adamic man that condemned you to hell, and He has created in you the new believer united in Christ, and you now have a new nature spiritually. Focus and live out what you are. Please Him, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, is the old, as the old hymn says. God has planned beforehand that this is what He wanted you to be and to do. And folks, we need to continue to do them. We need to continue to do them. Notice, if you would please, God prepared before Him that we should walk in them. The King James and the New King James says that we should walk in them. The New American Standard says that we would walk in them. Your NIV says to do. To do. That word to do or walk is and means this. It literally in the Greek, it is to walk. So it denotes literally to spend time walking about. You know, when you go to the mall and you go shopping, how are you going to get from store to store? You're going to what? You're going to walk around. And that's just what you do. If you're going to go and do shopping at the mall, you're going to spend time at the mall walking around. A continual process. And so literally that word walking around and spending time doing things, God has created in us good works that we should do them, accomplish them, perform them, spend time doing those things and walking around. So figuratively, the use of, instead of saying literally walking in our text, to be walking about, that's why the NIV says to do, because it talks about your conduct, your behavior. Literally, it means to walk. Figuratively, the application is your conduct, your behavior as a believer. And that's why in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, God said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your" what? "Good works. And glorify your Father who is in heaven." Glorify your Father which is in heaven. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a trustworthy statement concerning these things. I want you to speak confidently, so that those who believe God may be careful. May be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. And so, folks, we have an obligation as believers to do good and to represent Christ and who He is. But you know what? There are some people who name the name of Christ and they don't do good deeds. There are some people who name the name of Christ and when it comes to business, they're a bunch of snakes. I had a fella come and do the drywall at my house, and we got talking about business and Christians, and he was an unbeliever. And in his mind, he was wondering, what does that little fish symbol have to do with anything? Because he says, "I'm here to put your drywall up." In his mind. Except that you hope that if you see that little fish on the business card, you would hope that it would represent somebody who was honest. And I want to tell you that I've never been treated so fair by that drywall guy. I've had other Christians treat me unfairly than that drywall guy did to me. And I tell you what, I'll go back to that drywall guy 100 times over. Folks, we are to be Christ-like. we are to honor Him in what we do. We need to continue and to live out what we are. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked." So here's the point: to walk in the same manner as he walked. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. Walk the same way that he walks. So what is the point of good works? Here's the spiritual principle, the third one of the message. Good works will manifest in your life what God has already done. They are a testimony to what God has already done in your heart and life. That's what good works are for. So if you're listening to the message this morning, number one, you have to come to the conclusion that if we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works, doing good will not get you to heaven. When you die and you stand at heaven's gate, who or what are you depending upon to gain entrance into that gate? I hope it is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no other way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, the gospel is paramount to the church. It is paramount in our message. It is paramount in a dividing line between truth and error, and what separates us from liberal theology and that which is true and honoring to the world. And folks, it is the point of missionary endeavor. What is the point of missions except for the gospel? For we are saved by grace, and it's not of ourselves. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, the question you must ask yourself this morning, number one, is, am I a believer? Have I gone before the Lord and have I said something to this effect? I can't save myself. I'm a sinner. And I recognize that in my sin, I am destined already. I am condemned already because I do not believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And right now, if I have never believed in Him, I am condemned already. That is my spiritual state before God. However, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you say, I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life. Save me. Take away my sins. I'm depending upon You, Jesus, and that's it. That's your salvation. That's your belief and that's your trust. Have you done that? And then if you have, examine your heart this morning. If you truly have consecrated your life to live out Christ. To live out Christ. Is your thinking, your emotions, everything that you do in line with Scripture and what God has already created you to be? Because God has designed you in such a way to bring glory to Him by what you do. Is that what you're trying to do? No matter what you do in life. Every head bowed and every eye closed.